I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from the Morro Bay Maritime Museum, and we're here with Scott Mather, who's on the board and a former harbor patrolman for 35 years. The reason I came to talk to you has to do with September 10th, 1923, on the California coast.
Well, actually, September 8th, the 100th year anniversary of the U.S. Navy's worst peacetime disaster, still known as that today, that occurred on September 8th, 1923.
Okay, so September 10th, you have a ceremony here at the Maritime Museum.
We're going to put on a ceremony commemorating that date and honoring the 23 sailors that perished in that tragedy when seven destroyers went up on the rocks on Point Honda.
Where were they going and what happened?
The whole fleet was up in San Francisco for Fleet Week, which they have every year and kind of show off the Navy's might and power. And then after the week ended, they wanted to do a speed run down from San Francisco back to base in San Diego, Coronado Island. They wanted to make sure all the boilers, everything was up to snuff, and put it on a long-run endurance voyage.
High speed. So they were approaching Santa Barbara Channel, and what happened?
When they approached Santa Barbara Channel, the coastline turns from north to south to east to west, right there at about 70 miles north of Santa Barbara, Point Arguello, Point Conception area.
Yeah. It's interesting, too. I've navigated along there. And it kind of throws you for a loop. If you're going south, you set your compass heading almost due east.
Yes. Yeah. Always believe the compass. So anyway, what happened was they were on this endurance run off and along the central coast. You encounter pea soup fog, especially, you know, in September, this time of the year, you will encounter that. And that's what happened off the central coast, Point Arguello. Zero visibility. And those are the days of 1923. Remember, there was no GPS, no radar, none of the electronic tech items that we have today that help us navigate.
They didn't even have sonar, did they?
No, they still had lead lines where they dropped a weight over the side and saw how deep it was. So in order to do that, you have to slow down and take the soundings. So they're going by what they call dead reckoning, which is basically your compass course, speed, time, distance. And you assume you're along your line of position, your compass course, with dead reckoning. Radio direction finding had just come out, and there was a sight on Point Arguello. They received conflicting data as to their position with that. And this, again, was relatively new, and all the old, what they call barnacle shellback captains, you know, have always done it with dead reckoning. And they trusted their dead reckoning over any newfangled technology that was available. So they did get radio direction bearings that showed them still a little bit north and west of their compass course. But they did not believe that, so they kept steaming on. And at a certain time, at 9 o'clock in the evening, they changed a course to make that turn around Point Conception, which actually they were a little too soon on doing that, and ran right up on the rocks at Point Honda.
As I recall, there was a chain of command. You had your lead vessel and the commander on that ship to set the course and speed, and you, as a following destroyer or whatever, you followed your leader, right?
You followed the leader. It's a unwritten down rule in the destroyer squadrons. You follow the leader. They were also on a form of radio silence. You know, and only the lead ship, the USS Delphi, received the radio direction finding positions and had all the communications, and nobody else could communicate or interfere in those in the transmissions from Point Arguello radio direction finding station. So they're calling following the leader, and they were doing 20 knots.
Which is about
27 miles an hour. And they were very close to one another, 150 yards apart from bow to stern.
Wow.
And that equated at 20 knots to be about a 13-second interval.
So you had 13.
You had 13 seconds to
put
turn
the brakes on.
Yeah, to turn a 350-foot ship,
right,
and avoid any catastrophe.
Mm-hmm.
And in pea soup fog, didn't happen.
So lead ship cracks up on the rocks.
Lead ship cracks up on the rocks, and six others followed them into the rocks.
Well, as I seem to remember in my reading, one of the vessels didn't go on the rocks, and it was rescuing crew members from the other vessels, and then went on the rocks.
Right? Two of the ships, seven were lost, but two others hit the rocks.
Okay.
And they were in the process, they could hear the calamity going forward and the danger signal and the horns and the sirens going off and searchlights. So they had a little bit more of a chance to take evasive action. So they did take evasive action, but not quite in time. They hit the rocks. They were able to back off. Mm-hmm. And then they helped with the rescue of the stranded sailors on the other seven ships.
I'm Tom Wilmer. We're at the Morro Bay Maritime Museum speaking with Scott Mather about the upcoming events, September 10th, honoring the wreckage of naval destroyers off the coast of California near Santa Barbara, September 8th, 1923. And there were about 26 died, 20 on
23.
One. 23.
23 20. Died. The worst one was 20 off the USS Young, which capsized almost immediately. A big hole all the way down the side of it.
So they were trapped and drowned.
They trapped and drowned all below decks, mostly engine room and stewards and that kind of personnel.
And then there were three more.
Three on the lead ship perished.
And how did they get to shore?
Well, they did that's quite the rescue they did. They self-rescued a lot. They had some of the sailors received commendations for actually swimming from one ship to another, taking a line and hooking up a breech buoy and having the other crew members go hand over hand over this line to the one closer to the ship, closer to the beach, and then proceeding to jump off and get in on the rocks and walking up to the mesa up there.
So once again, all the vessels sunk.
Not all of them. I think there were, in the whole convoy, mm-hmm. I couldn't even tell you how many there were, but multiple squadrons, and this was Squadron 11, the lead ones that had the incident. So the other ones did see the commotion, backed off, and aided in the rescue too. But actually about 500 sailors ended up on the mesa, were able to evacuate the seven ships and get up on the mesa. The locals from Lompoc turned out with coffee and blankets and food and everything, and started bonfires. They were freezing. This is cold water there. They're all wet. All the fuel oil had been leaking out, so they're all covered in oil, Wow. Slippery, trying to climb rocks, trying to stay on the deck as your boat's turned over 45 to 90 degrees as the waves are washing over you as well. So quite a calamity. But 500 of them made it to the beach. A few of them were rescued by the other ships that were in the convoy.
So to this day, there are artifacts from that wreckage along the shoreline. There are engines. And
you can still see some. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this is 1923. Mother Nature has taken care of the cleanup a lot with rusting and decomposing the ships. And
you have an artifact here, right?
Well, that's one of the, when we put on this ceremony, I'm having Dave Thomas speak to the salvage operations. We do have a couple of very nice artifacts from that. Dave Thomas, Ernie Porter, and Dean Tyler, all local older fishermen, divers in this area, received the salvage rights from the state of California, because mm-hmm. they owned the ships at that time since it was in state waters. They received the salvage rights to salvage the red brass off it. Remember, this is out in pretty hostile water, mm-hmm. very few calm days. It had to be flat, flat, flat in order to do this operation. And they salvaged 100 tons of red brass off.
Wow.
Those ships. And they kept a couple of the nicer ones. We have the bell off the USS Young, the ship that where the 20 sailors perished.
And that's right here at the Morro Bay Maritime
yes.
Museum.
Yes, yes. It's on loan from Dave Thomas of the Shell Shop. Very nice mm-hmm. of him. If you're ever in Morro Bay and need to go need a shell, go to the Shell Shop. I can't tout how great that Shell Shop is.
Yeah.
You know, they've only been in business 67 years, so they're doing something right.
Yeah, getting the hang of it.
They're getting the hang of it.
Once more about the ceremony on the 10th here at the Morro Bay Maritime Museum.
It'll be held at 11 a.m. out in the patio behind the museum. We're going to have Coast Guard Station Morro Bay Color Guard open the ceremonies. I will give some introductory speaking, and we also have, I found out yesterday, a retired Vice Admiral, William Bowes, going to be joining us. So he'll give a little opening. This is in collaboration with other museums in our county. So we have the Central Coast Veterans Memorial Museum out of San Luis Obispo. They're coming and giving a talk on the events that happened with their interpretive panels. And we will toll the bell in honoring the 23 sailors that perished. And then we will have Dave Thomas speak about the salvage operations and what he's learned from his father before he passed. And he still has a few artifacts there, including a 3-inch anti-aircraft gun that I saw the other day. The Navy, when it first happened, they did get a large salvage firm out of San Francisco to come down and remove all the torpedoes, guns as such. But this one was probably upside down, underwater. So Dave Thomas's father decided to keep that artifact too. So,
in postscript, what happened to the commander of the lead naval vessel?
They did have a court-martial trial. I think they court-martialed 11 of them. Most of them were appealed afterwards. But the lead commander off the Delphi, he accepted all responsibility for the tragedy. It was his navigation or his navigators. So he accepted all responsibility and was demoted in points and ended up teaching.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
I remember reading he resigned from active duty but remained in the Naval Reserve for a while. Yeah.
Okay.
Very cool. Scott Mather, thank you for sharing.
It's always a pleasure to be with you, Tom.
To learn more about the event on the 10th in the Morro Bay Maritime Museum.
If you're in our area, come down. We welcome all. So come down and learn a little bit of our history.
I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from the Morro Bay Maritime Museum, where we've been visiting with Scott Mather.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station.